Everyone, welcome to our class on karma. This is the third of six classes in this Discovering Buddhism module. Here for the first time tonight, just joining us. Okay. Seems to be picking up a lot of breathing, a lot of nostril action. I'll try moving it down here. Yeah, well, it may be distracting during our breathing meditation. All you can hear is me. Okay. Just to let you all know, I had some minor surgery last week, and I'm still a little bit under the weather, so we're going to end early tonight. We're going to end about 8 o'clock. That's about all I can really feel up to this evening. But there's some material that I thought it was important to cover, so... Well, there may not be as much time for questions as we normally have either, but I think we'll get some good stuff in. Okay, we'll begin with a meditation. I think everyone is an experienced meditator by now. We're going to do a simple concentration meditation, a meditation on the breath. But to empower that, to make more than just paying attention to the breath, with the motivation, what's referred to as the bodhicitta motivation, that even something as simple as that is being done for the benefit of all living beings. Is that coming from me or... Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Okay, so we'll begin our meditation, starting by examining our posture. The point of the posture being that it be stable and non-distracting. Our head is straight on our shoulders, not tilted to one side or the other, maybe just a degree or two in front of the vertical. Eyes lightly closed or slightly open. Mouth lightly closed, not clenched. Back a little bit straighter than we normally sit. Shoulders down and slightly back, so that our chest is open. Upper arms away from our torso. Right hand on left with thumbs touching. And legs in a position that is comfortable and stable. We'll begin with a simple version of the 9-round breathing. Start by taking our right index finger, closing our left nostril. Three deep breaths in and out through the right nostril. The stomach expanding on the in-breath. Right nostril, right finger closing that nostril. Three deep breaths in and out through the left nostril. And next, three deep breaths in and out through both nostrils. And now we allow our breathing to return to its normal pattern. And we begin by setting our motivation. Even if it takes effort, if it doesn't seem natural, we generate the bodhicitta motivation, the motivation that we came here tonight, are doing this meditation, and staying for the discussion, so that we can change our mind in a way that will be of more benefit to all living beings. And we can think of specific people, our family, our friends, our co-workers, but ultimately expand it to include everyone. And having set our motivation, we now begin the actual meditation. Mind perceiving breath. Mind aware of breath. The physical sensation of breath moving in and out through the nostrils. Not counting the breath, not describing it, not thinking about it, but direct, non-dualistic, non-judgmental perception. We could almost say that mind and breath are one. The only thought in our mind is the direct perception of breath. And every time we notice that another thought is there, We just drop that and come back to the breath. And we can end our meditation with a dedication. Acknowledge that we've done something out of the ordinary, something that, even if it seems quite minor, has made a positive imprint on our mind. And we acknowledge that and dedicate that positive imprint to the benefit of all living beings. Okay. Any questions or comments about that meditation? I think people are getting familiar with it by now. Yes. That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Okay, a little bit of review. This class is on karma. If someone asks you, what is karma, what's your answer? Action. What kind of action? Actions of body, speech, and mind. Any action of body, speech, or mind is a karma, no matter how minor or insignificant it may seem. And there are four, according to the Buddha, there are four overriding laws or rules according to which karma acts. These are the kind of the natural laws of the universe as he saw them. What's the first law of karma? Karma is definite. And what does that mean? Thank you, Scott. No wiggle room, okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, virtuous actions, I'll just put a V, always lead to happiness. Whose happiness? The person who's performing the action, okay? May cause happiness for others, but we have no guarantee of that. But we know, according to the Buddha, if we act in a virtuous manner, that will always cause happiness for ourselves. It will always make us happy in the future. And conversely, okay, non-virtuous actions always lead to suffering for the person doing the action. And we're going to talk about this law a little bit more tonight. Okay, second law. Karma expands over time. Pretty straightforward. Third one. No result without a cause. Meaning both everything I am experiencing now, I have created the cause for in the past. Everything I experience in the future, I'm creating the cause for now. I won't experience anything in the future without creating the cause for it. Okay, it's a state of complete responsibility for one's experience, not being a victim in any sort of way. I am responsible for everything I have experienced and everything I will experience. We'll talk about that more in future classes. And the last one is, karma is never lost. Doesn't get forgotten or hidden away in a corner, with the two exceptions being purify negative karma, and that's one of the, we'll do that in 2 weeks, I think. Okay, we can purify negative karma, and then we can destroy positive karma. How, Pat? Yes, positive karma through anger. Okay. Any comments or questions about those? That's one of the key points of this whole class. I think we've gone over them enough that people are somewhat comfortable with them. And again, there's no need to buy this lock, stock, and barrel, but just examine it and debate with yourself. So, let's see. No, is this an eraser? No, I guess so. Okay. Thank you. Gook, gook, gook. So tonight I wanted to talk a little bit more about certain aspects of the first law. We describe actions here as virtuous or non-virtuous. What determines if an action is virtuous or non-virtuous? The motivation, okay. The motivation determines whether an action is virtuous or non-virtuous. What are some of the virtuous motivations? Generosity, patience, compassion, the wish that others not suffer, love, the wish that others be happy, okay. Wisdom, understanding reality is said to be a virtuous motivation. What are some of the non-virtuous motivations? Anger, greed, lust, jealousy, okay. Okay, so, very simple, right? But, you know, 99% of the time we have no idea what our motivation is, or it's very confused, or it's a mixture of virtuous and non-virtuous qualities. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to make this a little bit more practical? One way of it is the Dalai Lama, lots of times he says, when some people ask him what Buddhism is about, he says, as much as you can, help others. If you can't do that, avoid hurting them. Okay? So avoid hurting would be the non-virtuous. Helping is the virtuous aspects. That's one way of kind of looking at this. As much as you can, help others. If you can't do that, at least try not to hurt others. Then you'll be acting not hurting others is avoiding non-virtuous actions. Helping is the virtuous actions. So that helps us a little bit. That's a very simple way of putting it. Venerable Rabina, when she comes here, her line is always, in terms of avoiding non-virtuous actions, is zip your lips and keep your hands to yourself. Okay. And generally in the Buddhist path, we start off by first trying to reduce the amount of non-virtuous actions we're doing. First, try to stop hurting other people. Then as we move along in the long run to the great scope, that's when we can actually think of helping others. But right now, for most of us, just to avoid not hurting others, just to not hurt others, to avoid hurting others, is a great spiritual accomplishment, something really worth concentrating on. Okay? Did you have a question? Oh, okay. The Buddha also gave us a little help here. So we're going to talk specifically about non-virtuous actions tonight, because for most of us, where we are in our path, if we can just avoid hurting others, we're doing great. So the Buddha gave us a list, because it's Tibetan Buddhism, and there is always a list. And this has 10 items in it. And he said there are 10 major non-virtuous actions. Sounds like the 10 deadly sins. And the Buddha saying, I'm telling you this so that if you wish not to suffer, avoid these actions. It's your choice, okay? I'm not God telling you that I'm offended when you do these. I'm just saying that from what I've learned, if you do these actions, you will suffer. You will cause pain for yourself. If you want to avoid pain, if you want not to suffer, avoid these actions. And that's a completely valid motivation from the Buddhist point of view. It's not selfish, because by avoiding them, you also avoid hurting others. But the main reason for most of us right now to avoid these actions is so that we won't suffer. Okay? And he gave us 10 non-virtuous actions. Excuse me. There are 3 of the body: killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. Okay, there are four of speech, lying, divisive speech, harsh speech, and idle gossip. And there are three of mind, covetousness, or greed, anger, and ignorance. Okay, so we have three of body, four of speech, and three of mind. Okay, remember, what did we say is the main determinant of whether an action is virtuous or non-virtuous? Motivation. So these are not absolute. According to the Buddha, it is possible to do any one of these out of pure compassion. There is a story about the Buddha before he became enlightened, but he had developed some sort of mental powers. He saw that someone was going to kill a lot of other people. And out of compassion for that person so that he wouldn't experience the results of that negative karma, he personally killed that person and took the negative karma of killing on himself. This was part of his path. But most of the time when we do these, our motivation is non-virtuous. Okay? Sometimes it's mixed, but if we can't control our motivations, which is really hard, at least we can avoid the actions. We can zip our lips and keep our hands to ourselves. Okay? But there is nothing inherently, that's kind of loaded, but it is possible to do each of these actions with a compassionate mind. But if we look at our mind when we're doing one of these, compassion is probably not what's motivating us. So just start off by avoiding these to avoid suffering in the future. Killing, I think that's pretty obvious what that is. Taking the life of another. Stealing means taking something that is not freely given. Okay. Even, you know, just, I was with a Buddhist nun at the grocery store. That's a bad move, okay? I sampled one of the grapes. She said, technically that's stealing, you know. So don't go shopping with a Buddhist nun. But taking anything that is not freely given. Sexual misconduct is defined all sorts of ways. Some of them very graphic about what is going in what hole at what time of the month and things like that. But in general, it means don't have sex with someone else's partner. Okay? That's the general idea. Three of body. Those are the three big non-virtuous actions of the body to avoid. Lying, pretty obvious. Divisive speech, talking in a way to separate people. To cause a particular, the worst type of divisive speech is in a spiritual community, to try and create a schism in the spiritual community. But in a relationship or an organization or at work, talking in a way that's trying to divide people. Harsh speech, okay, doesn't mean being honest, but overly harsh, aggressive speech. Idle gossip, doesn't mean you can't joke and, you know, just sit around and shoot the breeze. But really wasting too much time in talking about things that are absolutely insignificant. So four of speech, then three of mind, covetousness, greed, wanting things that you do not have in a clinging sort of attached way, not just aspiring for something, but really that kind of clinging sort of quality of mind, anger, the wish to harm others, and ignorance, which is not seeing reality. Okay, not seeing reality accurately. Okay? Three of body, four of speech, three of mind. In the three of body, killing is the most serious, creates the most suffering and they decrease. In speech, lying is the most serious, creates the most suffering, then decreasing seriousness. Okay? In the ones of, that's three, that's mind. Okay? In the ones of mind, ignorance is the most serious. So covetousness is the mildest. So these two get less serious as they go down. This one gets more serious as they go down. For most of us, questions in a minute. For most of us, the ones of body are the easiest to avoid. It's pretty easy to go through. You have questions about ants in your home and things like that. But in general, those are relatively easy to avoid. Speech can be very difficult to control. The ones of mind are extremely difficult to avoid. Okay, so just start with the ones of body. Okay? If you avoid those, you're avoiding creating suffering for yourself. Okay, Chris? Well, that's a more elaborate definition, yeah. Since we haven't had the class on emptiness, I'm going to stay away from that. But yeah, it's not seeing emptiness. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. That you're not aware. Yeah, that's why it's the most difficult one, and it involves a lot of study to see reality first, okay? You have to see reality and then avoid falling back into your old ways of thinking, okay? Right now, that's probably not real practical for most of us to walk out here tonight and say, I'm going to avoid any actions committed out of ignorance. You know, we're living in ignorance. You know, we're drowning in ignorance. That's just the way we see reality. So, like I said, that's the hardest one. Yeah. Other questions? Comments? Yeah. The wish to harm others. Yeah. Either mentally or physically. Okay. So, for most of us, these are good things to avoid because usually our motivation when we do these is non-virtuous. Okay? I mean, I'm sure we've all been in situations where telling a lie was absolutely, as far as we could tell, the compassionate, right thing to do. But most of the times, lying is not motivated by compassion. Killing, very rarely motivated by compassion. Very rarely. Stealing, motivated by selfishness. Yeah, sexual misconduct, selfishness. These others wish to harm others. Okay? So the Buddha's saying, if you don't want to suffer, start by just avoiding these. Not because I'm telling you to, not because there's a God who's keeping track of this, but because these are things that will cause you to suffer in the future. Okay? Yeah, Pat. Well, okay, what's mercy killing?
Assisting someone, Dr.
Fox. Uh-huh.
Assisting someone and ending a terminal when they have a terminal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That or putting down a pet that's very ill. Okay. I mean, that's where you have to really be willing to be honest with yourself and look at it. You know, am I honestly doing this because this is the most compassionate thing, or am I doing it because I don't want to see this animal suffer anymore? It's a tough, there's not a black and white answer, but that's one of the things where I think motivations can be very mixed. But, it's up to each individual. It's up to Dr. Kevorkian. He may be a Buddha, for all we know. I don't know. He may not be. But, that's the point, that the action in and of itself is not inherently virtuous or non-virtuous. It's the mind, the motivation that does the action, that propels the action. Any of these can be virtuous if they're done out of compassion. Yeah, Chris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what Mm-hmm. And then I came to like America.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My motivation would not be stealing.
Uh-huh.
Ignorance.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's mixed. I mean, that would certainly not be as serious a karma, as heavy a karma, and we'll talk about this more next week, how actions become are said to be heavier in terms of their karmic imprint if it's just done out of not knowing the customs of the country, but with no intention of taking something that you knew was not yours. The karma would be much milder, much nowhere near as strong.
Or like sexual misconduct, if they were dating somebody and they were lying to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Well, again, what was your motivation? Your motivation at the time was not to have sex with someone else's partner, okay? So it was your motivation, yeah. You know, sometimes the external circumstances can fool us, but again, it's your motivation. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's a very difficult situation. Or say you have a starving child and you want to steal a loaf of bread from the bakery. The Buddha is saying, you know, in a situation like that, probably your motivation is compassion. But he says, at the very moment when you're picking up that loaf of bread and taking it, your motivation is probably, I'm taking something that's not mine. Okay, you may plan it and get all the way. They say your action at doing, your motivation at the very moment of doing the action may change a little bit. But anyway, it's a mixed motivation, yeah. And if it's done more out of compassion and less out of wanting something that's not yours, if it's done truly for compassion, then it'd create primarily positive karma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that some next week. The object of our action, there are certain qualifications that determine how heavy the karma is. Again, we use this word heavy being more serious, producing stronger results. The heaviest karma, either for good or for bad, is an action done towards one of our teachers. That has the strongest karmic impact. Next strongest impact is when it's done towards our parents. Okay? Close friends. You know, the more connected we are with people, the more powerful the karma we create in our actions towards them. Just makes sense. You know, if we're taking a bacteria, you know, our basic motivation is to preserve our life, but we know that we are killing. If we take an antibiotic, our basic motivation is to preserve our life, which is beneficial, compassionate, but we understand that there is some negative karma that accompanies that just by killing bacteria. The Buddha would say, from a technical point of view, the fact that they're not our teachers, our parents, our friends, diminishes it. And the fact that we acknowledge it when we do the action also weakens it, but it's going to be mixed in a situation like that. I think the Buddha would say, you know, I'm a doctor, I write prescriptions for antibiotics all day long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could say that, or one thing that I've heard teachers say in that situation is, you know, we don't know if we have a pet put down because of our ignorance, that that pet is going on to a less suffering existence. Well, unless you're... Well, or you really think really long and hard about it. It's a serious action, and you really need to look at your mind closely. Yeah. So I'm not going to say you should do it or you shouldn't do it. I think every situation is different. What? Yeah. Trying to nail me down. Yeah. But yeah, it's a difficult thing because from the Buddhist point of view, the pet is going into another lifetime, and it may be a worse lifetime than the one it's in right now. We just don't know that.
Either way, we're
intervening. Yeah, so it's a difficult. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Purify it. The purification. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Okay, because we're all getting a sense of, God, I've done so many things. Yeah, so don't get stuck there. Next week we're going to talk about purification practice, which is how we weaken and actually can eventually eliminate the negative karmic imprints. Because we know we've done all this stuff countless times. We've also done the good stuff countless times. But we're going to talk about purification next week. Yeah. Over time, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, not just bad karma. Yeah, when we talk about karma, we always think it's just the bad stuff. You got to keep reminding yourself it's the good stuff, too. Yeah.
So I know someone who suffers from a flea infestation in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a problem that when they take their animal to the vet says, what are you doing? Your pets are suffering. But because the person doesn't want to do anything about the flea, it's causing suffering of humans, animals, and the fleas are very happy. But you're also, it's a karma to be able to have access to things to prevent your pets from suffering, and are you choosing the many lives over the few? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's very confusing.
It's very, yeah, it's tough, yeah. The best thing, you know, is not to create the cause to have fleas to begin with.
And that was my point, is like, if you're going to have this, you have to keep your animals, like, by being smart and wise, things in control, and cleanliness is allowing critters not to be invited into your house.
Yeah. Yeah, so first realize if you've got a flea problem, you've created the causes for it. And that has put you in a situation where no matter what you choose to do, you're choosing between several bad choices and trying to make the least bad one. But at least take responsibility for it and say, okay, I'm going to avoid this in the future at least. I may have to do something that's technically a negative action right now, but that's the only option I have because I've put myself in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I had a friend who was a very sincere Buddhist, and she was a property developer, a very, you know, ecologically sensitive and worked a lot with low-cost housing, and she had this great piece of land in Durham, and they were going to do something that was really good for the community. But, you know, clearing the land to some degree, she knew a lot of animals would be killed by result of her actions. So she accepted that as, you know, just because we're human beings, we're not Buddhists, we've got difficult choices to make. But she took a couple monks over there, did lots of prayers, did lots of blessings and things like that to try and hopefully decrease the negative karma that she was creating by doing that. But she knew that she had to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's samsara, the cycle of suffering we're in. Even, you know, we want to do the right thing all the time, and just by virtue of being a human being with this body and this mind living in this world, it's impossible. There will be suffering as long as we're in samsara. we can remove ourselves from sorrow and become enlightened. But right now, that's just the cost of doing business. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. And you know, when we're leading these classes and we don't know the answer, we're supposed to say that's a good question for a Geshe. But I would say an action can probably create positive and negative results. Yeah, that's a good question, though. I'd never thought about it, though. Yeah. Did you? Oh, I thought you said, okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you talk about motivation, and you can have mixed motivation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How far do this go with that motivation and intent? You have to have a specific intent to harm. You have to have a specific intent to harm. I mean, where along the spectrum?
Yeah. Again, that gets to how heavy the karma that's created it. So the karma is heaviest if you mentally say to yourself, I want to kill that person. Okay? If it's just not so clearly formulated, if you just strike out and kill, the karma is still negative, but it's not as strong. Actually, the strongest karma is you say, I want to kill that person, you kill them, and then you rejoice that you've killed them. That's the strongest killing karma you can create, the karma that's caused the most suffering. Okay? Any variation on that, either you don't have that clear intention in your mind, or you don't actually kill them, you just wound them, or you don't rejoice in it afterwards, is going to make the heaviness of the karma slightly less, but still go be negative karma. Yeah, you can kill someone without intending to kill them, without rejoicing in it. I mean, everybody who drove here tonight killed some sentient beings, you know, insects and things like that. You weren't even aware of it. But there was negative karma created just by doing that. Not particularly heavy, but yeah, and again, that's part of being in samsara. Just by, you know, we just create lots of negative karma. That's why we have to purify. That's why purification practice is so important. We'll talk about that more next week. Mm-hmm. Kim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we can accidentally do good actions. You know, do something that benefits someone. We didn't intend to do it. We didn't rejoice in it. We didn't even. I mean, haven't you come? People have come up to you and say, you were so helpful to me 10 years ago. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? So you did create some good karma, but if you actually intend to do it, and then rejoice in it, that makes it much more powerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so whenever you do something good, rejoice in it. That makes the karma stronger. Okay. I'm going to have to finish up fairly soon. So let's do another meditation. Okay, okay. Well, the happy karma. Okay, so let's do another meditation. Check your posture. Nine round breathing. set your motivation. Concentration meditation on the breath. And now we'll do just a quick review meditation on the 10 non-virtuous actions. 10 actions that the Buddha said more than likely are motivated by a non-virtuous mind. Not always, but more than likely. So if we want to cut down on the amount of suffering we will experience in the future, if we wish to have less physical, mental, and emotional pain, a good place to start is by just avoiding these actions. 3 non-virtuous actions of body. The first is killing. Taking the life of another being. Stealing. Taking something that is not freely given. And sexual misconduct. Having sexual relations with another person's partner. Killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, killing being the most serious. Four non-virtuous actions of speech. Lying being the most serious. Divisive speech. Speeches intended to separate people. Harsh speech. And idle gossip. Lying, divisive speech, harsh speech, and idle gossip. three non-virtuous actions of mind. Covetousness. Craving what is not one's own. Anger. The wish to harm others. And ignorance. Not seeing reality accurately. Covetousness, anger, ignorance. Ignorance being the most serious. So just see if you can memorize that list of 10 divided into 3, 4, 3, just so you're familiar with them. Refer to the blackboard if you need to. And by avoiding these actions, I will reduce my future suffering. And in the process, I will avoid harming others. So there are really two benefits to them. This is the first part of the spiritual path, to avoid harming self and others. And avoiding these actions is a really good place to start. And now you can do your dedication. Okay, so as I said, I'm going to end a little bit early tonight. I wasn't able to prepare any homework, but continue to do your daily meditation practice and just review the points that we've talked about so far. Start to think about them next week. We'll have more time for questions, and we'll talk about purification practice, which I think people are really, they want to find out about it right away. Okay, so we'll be back next week. Okay, thank you, everyone.